always willing to fill in and do things that I don't know how to do. So, and anyway. The subject this morning is who is a Christian? Who is a Christian? You know, in the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, and we want to look at verse 26. Acts 11, verse 26. While you're getting everything together, put another one of these, and I've put a couple stars beside Mike's name, you know, for I don't, I had some, but they're over on my desk. Well, Judy, okay. Well, since your husband's wife becomes one, so, you know. All right. Acts 11, chapter, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. Subject, who is a Christian? The name Christian was first given by inhabitants of the Syrian city of Antioch to a new sort of people that had sprung up amongst them and whom they could not quite make out. They would not fit into any of their categories, so they had to invent a new name for them. Never used in the New Testament by Christians about themselves. I was making this outline, I thought about when Brother Bill came to my house and I accepted the Lord Jesus. And I said, you know, it was four of us guys, we ran around together where we see one, we see usually the other. I said, I wonder what those guys are going to think. He said, when they found out that you're saved, he won't have no problem with them. And that's exactly what had happened, you know. None of them came around until Marion Sargent, who stood up at my wedding, and he came here one Saturday morning. When you're a Christian, you know, the name Christian was first given by the inhabitants of the city of Antioch, as our text verse says. It occurred here in our text. It occurs in Agrippa, you know, half, when he said in Acts 26, verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I think we have a lot of folk that is almost Christian. They got the name. They got their name on the church roll somewhere. The only thing difference is they don't use the front door of places they shouldn't go in. They use the back door. But when God saves a person, he's new inside and out. So when we look at Acts 26, and I read this verse a lot. If you look at this old Bible, it's about to fall apart. But I have a lot of scriptures that I got underlined and in yellow that just like it is in Acts, the 26th chapter and the 28th verse. You know, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul answered back, and I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He was in jail, Apostle Paul, but still as he was incarcerated, he still had a desire to see everybody else to be saved. I believe that's one of the things that changes us about even people that we particularly don't like. When we're in the will of God, we even want those people saved. Because we know that when God saves a man, that man is no longer the same. Everything about him is different. We got to remember that they're still in the flesh. And as long as we have this flesh, that's why we got to make a pact with ourselves. That I'm not going to let people, as a way of life, get to me. And I don't know whether we should be proud of ourselves in anything, but I'm proud of this. I'm proud that it takes a lot for me to lose my temper. It takes a lot for me to get really mad. And I know you wouldn't like it because I don't like myself. I believe that's a way to test your spirituality. That you just accept, well, that's just the way I am. And you may always have that fault, if you want to call it a fault, I do. Because he that is in us is stronger than he that's in the world. And if we yield to him, no matter what's going on, he will give us the ability to do what a Christian ought to do. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is always an encouragement to me. But God said in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When you are ashamed to admit that you're a born-again Christian, man, you're losing some blessings. Nobody else may not think you're as good as you used to be, or they may even say, oh, you think you're something else now. And for a long time, I would say, yes, sir, I am. Before I was a sinner on my way to hell, now I'm a child of God. It's not because of me, but it's because of the one who lives in me. Regardless of what others may say about what it is to be a Christian, what do we know from the Scripture? Well, First of all, we know that not all who profess to be a Christian are the Lord's. And isn't that sad? I mean, we would think that if the sister came in and, you know, and she said, churches she usually passed, they were, I mean, just flocking in. Why are they flocking in? Well, you know, without knowing exactly, those particular churches I know that have their Christmas play. And they'll have the nativity scene, and they'll have some man wearing a big red suit, passing out toys, candy, or whatever to the kids. But what about next Sunday? And the Sunday after that? Well, God said in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew the 7th chapter, and verse 22, Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. You know why that's so important? People said, I used to be saved. No, there's no such thing as a person that used to be saved. But these people were talking about what they'd done, and yet Christ said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But they were bragging as, you know, and they be some of the nicest people. When I moved over on the lake, it was a lady lived across the road from me. She passed away now. She was in her 90s when she passed away. And she would talk to me about anything except Christianity. You know, she had been a member of this church over the parish, I guess, all of her life. But I asked her one day, I said, Sue, if I was lost, could you tell me what I would have to do to be saved? Just believe and be baptized. She gave two answers, and neither one of them was correct. Now, she would fit verse 21 or 22 where they say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we done? I mean, she was a... And she knew because it's 103 houses over on the lake and they think, they're a little community all by herself, you know, and they have a picnic every year. And Sue invited my wife to go, and she invited me, and I said, no, I'll pass. So my wife went the one time. She went over there, and this lady, you know, they brought her lunch, and she reached in and got her a little bottle and fixed her a little drink. But I'm a Christian because I go to church and I've been baptized. And I'm faithful in what I believe. But you can be as faithful as you want to be, church. But if you haven't been converted, If you haven't been born again, you'll still die and go to hell. And those type people are hard to talk to. I mean, Sue, I loved her. My wife loved her. She taught school in Bourbon County for umpteen years. Precious lady. But had no idea what it meant to be born again. But Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, you know, this, that, and the other, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. It's not that you got saved and I couldn't keep you. I never knew you. Number two, we know that all who are Christ's have been taught of the Spirit of God to their lost estate, blood, guiltiness of their sin, and the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus accomplished for them. See, when you come to the knowledge that you're lost without Christ, the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind everything that Christ has done for you. And you see yourself lost and undone. And I tell you, the people that I love to hear their testimony is when they say, if God had left me alone, I would have went to hell if I died. I'm talking about good, moral people. But see, you don't go to heaven because you're good, and you don't go to hell because you're bad, because if you go to hell because you're bad, all of us would be in hell. Because God said there's none good, no, not one. There is not one that understands. We need to understand. Particularly as the Redeemer, you know, that the healed blind man cried, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Isn't that what he said in John 9:36? Such was his need, and so is our need. Our need is to be shown in our heart that Jesus Christ is the only way to glory. Now, you know, it is, we, when we're lost and we understand through the Spirit of God that God loved us. Can you imagine in your lost condition? I don't know whether any of you are as bad as I was when I was lost, but God loved me even when I was lost. But I wouldn't accept that love. But then, when I started sitting under the Word of God, a little bit here, a little bit there, and God works in mysterious ways. But God tells us. He tells us, as we quoted here in John 9:36, you know, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And then verse 37 of John 9, he said, Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come unto this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. What the world needs is a spiritual blindness. They don't need to look in the mirror and say, I'm saved, but I don't. That won't save you. But if you really believe, you will practice those things. Closer you get to what God wants you to be, I believe, with everything's in man, that's when the blessings of God come into our life. But not always the way that we think. Because according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, God tells us by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all the law does. You can't be saved by keeping the law. But he said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I drove down the interstate and the law says 70 miles an hour. And the truck pulls me over down the road a little piece doing 80. What part did the law have? The law showed me the speed I should have been going. That's all the law did. The Ten Commandments, they're not made to save us. The Ten Commandments are there so we know what God expects of us. So we see here in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Speed limit says 70, I'm doing 70. Nothing happens. But the moment I go over that 70 mile an hour, even if it's 71 or 72, I broke the law. I've done what the law says not to. But if I keep the law, am I going to just say because I keep the law? There's no saving power in keeping the law. Because the law has already been kept when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for me. All I've got to do is believe. It's to believe. So we should be silenced in dead despair. Even the command to believe is impossible until the Lord grants us grace to believe. I mean, really, if I decide to go out to lunch after lunch and the man's sitting in the next booth and, you know, we find out we know each other and I'm telling him about Jesus Christ, I'm telling him what I'm doing now and I invite him to church and I go into the gospel and I preach the gospel to him. If God doesn't abide to it, there's nothing happened except I made him more responsible. See, the law is to inform us. Grace saves us. God tells us many, many times what we should do and shouldn't do. But as Romans 8:26, as we looked at, tells us, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps of our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit leads us. I mean, we pray for something, but do we know what's going to happen tomorrow? Every time that young man there comes in, I know he's coming in from Alabama. I pray for you, brother. I pray that God will keep you safe, will keep the wrong cars out of his way. When I know he's going back, I pray for him. But I don't know what the situation is going to be. But my responsibility is to not to say I'm going to do it, or you don't have to worry. Well, I'm praying for you, brother. You just do whatever you want to. I've got you covered. That's a bunch of bull. But what we do, we pray and say, God, keep your hands upon him. Keep your hands. Because God already knows what's going to be on the road. And God already knows what's going to happen this afternoon, but I don't. But because God knows and I'm one of his, nothing. I want to tell you what is so wonderful about being saved. Nothing can happen to me that God doesn't know about. He said, well, if God knows about it, why didn't he change it? Well, sometimes we go through a lot of stuff so that we can really find out what we're made of. You got to have a purpose. And my purpose is that when I get up in the morning and God gives me a good night's sleep tonight and I meet somebody, that I'm prepared to know what to say and what not to say. Now, we go back to the book of Mark here, and in the 9th chapter, Mark 9, and verse 24. Mark 9, 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now, we pray. And when we ask the church to pray, that's why I've loved the prayer box. Don't know how many of y'all pray for it, not pray for the prayer box, but pray for the requests that are in the prayer box. But you need to remember one thing about the prayer box and we have requests that one of the queens gave me. Are they praying too? When I asked Linda to pray for me, and I asked Judy to pray for me, I asked Henrietta to pray for me, I asked Jean to pray for me, I asked Neela to pray for me. I'm assuming they're in condition to pray. Right? Because you got to be saved and in the will of God for your prayers to be answered. But aren't you thankful that God blesses our unbelief? That God blesses us despite what we are? And yet, when the Spirit reveals Christ to us and His blood and righteousness imputed upon the completion of His death, then He grants faith to believe, and we understand the mystery of salvation of Christ's crucifixion. See, it's... Let's turn to Romans 8:15. Romans the 8th chapter, the 15th verse. God said, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, look what Paul writing to the church of Galatia. And he says here in 4th chapter and 6th verse, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Then we could look at Ephesians 1:13 or 1 Peter 1:3, and we would see that how important it is for prayer and how important for us to ask God to help us, to guide us. I love Ephesians 1:13 where he says, "In whom ye also trusted," notice, "after that ye heard the word of truth." You won't ever trust Jesus if you've never heard the word. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that he believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You see what happened in verse 13? Once saved, always saved. Before you was baptized, before you done anything. When God blessed you, that's how it works. Thirdly, we know that all who come to Christ in truth have been taught of Him in His true character as the Savior of sinners. What is Jesus? Of course, He's the Son of God. He's, you know, we just don't want to take any of His attributes for granted. But if you look with me in John 6:45, John the 6th chapter and the 45th verse, God says this, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, come unto me. Underline that in your mind. It's so good. It's so good. We want to read that again. John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned. Not just heard. People say, well, you know, he's heard and heard and heard, and I've heard and heard and heard. Well, it's not enough such as heard, but have learned of the Father cometh unto me. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that is. Several times God sent the nation into captivity. Finally, he set them aside and established the Gentile nation as the rulers of the world. You know, you read Daniel 2, chapter 2, chapter 7, chapter 8, Romans 11. You're talking about such a good read. Don't have to do anything but just read those three chapters. And you'll see that how God has a chosen people. God has a chosen nation. And that you think about what Israel is going through. Let me tell you something about the nation of Israel. They ain't seen nothing yet. When they have ran out of that country and God deals with them. But they're his people. People ask me, will anybody be saved after the rapture? The Jewish nation will. But aren't you glad you don't have to go through what the Jews have gone through? Have you been on the internet and seen the maps, what is the enemy and what's Israel? It's just a little bit of spot there. About as big as one of our states. But that they're God's chosen people. So, this isn't in my message. But it is now. You ought to be careful of what you say about a person that professes to be saved and lives like a saved person. You don't mess with God's people. And I'm not special. But you better put the preachers that preach the word of God on that top of that list. Because God will come and get you. I don't believe that. You will. What was needed was a new beginning by which the line of fallen humanity from Adam could be broken. A race in which the fallen nature would not be reproduced in the then, but bring glory to God. This is exactly what was accomplished when God himself on humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. This world was against God. There was no way out except through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in Christ was born a virgin, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, and thus the line from Adam had been broken. Only a couple more verses. In Matthew chapter 1, and verse 18, God said this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. The second man, or the last Adam. As you read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just a couple more verses here. We see here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46, or verse 45. Let me see which one it is. 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord. From heaven. So when Jesus declared himself to be the true vine, he was stating that he was the one that would bring forth fruit unto God. Our last verse we'll look at is John 17:4. John 17:4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. God became flesh. Died for sinners like me. That's what the birth of Christ is about. Not all this foolishness that's going on. Let's have a word of prayer if God has spoken. You come. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to just read the Word of God is such a blessing. But to expound certain verses, trusting that the Holy Spirit will give us insight, that we can see from thy inspired Word of God that we have been chosen by the Lord. And he gives us instructions of how we should live, what we should do. And because of our special relationship to him, we wait for his coming. Lord, keep us until that day. Give us a vision